I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Well, really happy to welcome back one of our regulars on Connections, Paul Layton, a journalist for the Salem News, primarily covering Beverly, but a lot more than that. And we have a real lot to talk about. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Appreciate it.
I want to get right to it. It's been a while since we've been talked, and obviously the last 2 weeks have been incredible. Yesterday was the complete antithesis of what took place 2 weeks ago, but you've had more or less exclusive interviews with Congressman Seth Moulton. And I wonder, Paul, if you could recount maybe what the congressman had to say a couple of weeks ago in your coverage.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. I talked to the congressman just a little bit after the insurrection a couple of weeks ago, and that's, you know, as a local newspaper, that's what we try to do, is sort of get the local angle, and it's good that we're able to speak with Moulton, you know, by phone, and kind of get talk to somebody who was literally right there. But in his case, if you remember, that both the Senate and the Congress were meeting in the chambers at the Capitol, but they were limited in the number of people, just, you know, due to the pandemic and the usual restrictions. So Moulton, like a lot of congressman, was actually in his office at the time all this took place. And his office, which I wasn't sure of, is located in the Longworth Building, which is right next to the Capitol, like most of those office buildings. And he said that he was sitting in his office and, joining in on the session remotely, and he could hear and see the crowd gathering, you know, in front of the Capitol. And then at some point he said, there was a knock on the door of his building, and he said that he didn't know if it were the, you know, the rioters or the police. And somebody said, police, you know, open the door. And he and an aide were in his office at the time, and it was the Capitol Police, and they escorted him to a secure location within the Capitol building somewhere where they took most of the senators, mm-hmm. Congress, members of Congress. So that was his first experience, which was incredible. And then, of course, he spoke about it and, the situation and what it meant. And, you know, everybody's seen a lot of those comments a lot of people.
But,
yes.
Well, the thing to me, Paul, is, you know, the local angle that he's talking directly to you, which means he's talking to us here on the North Shore. What was his demeanor like, Paul, if you could describe that? Because, I mean, he's a combat veteran. He's a former Marine. And here he is, a civilian in the Capitol. And, I was watching with absolute horror. This reminded me of the missiles of October when I was a teenager, and it scared the bejeebers out. But what was his conversation like, you know, talking with him? What I'm trying to ask? What did it feel like?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question, because when I first got him on the phone, I said, how you doing? How are you doing? And he said, oh, I'm all right, it was a surprising question. I think what he meant and what he talked about was just what you said, Rick, that he's a combat veteran. He's been in these situations, and I think that experience all kicked in, and he wasn't, he said that he wasn't afraid, but he said he saw the quote, I believe, I'm not looking at the story now, but he said, I saw the fear in the eyes of many of my colleagues, and, mm-hmm. We've all seen the images on TV. So I think it's interesting that he did have that different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, it's hard to imagine that you apply that perspective, to being at the U.S. Capitol.
No, I know.
Something like this.
Was he angry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was angry, and he blames Trump, now former President Trump. And, Moulton has been very outspoken against Trump in the, all throughout the 4 years, and he never hesitates to come back at him on Twitter and engage in that kind of stuff. So he just said this was a culmination of 4 years of lies by Trump and, you know, riling up his base, and then it came to this point that you know, that there was an actual insurrection at the Capitol. So he was really upset, and he says that there needs to be consequences for this.
What did you feel like, Paul? Two things when you watched it on Wednesday, and then in turn when you talked with a congressman about it. What were your feelings?
Yeah, just like anybody else, it was, you know, just feelings of horror and just hard to imagine that this could happen in our country, you know, and to see those images. I mean, those images will never go away. And and speaking with Moulton, I mean, I think it was good to hear. He was reassuring in a way in terms of, you know, insisting that the government's going to go on and work. And I think, which we'll talk about, we saw yesterday with the peaceful transition of power, which is what people were so concerned about. But things aren't over
right.
Because you have a new president, you know.
Do you know when it was decided on that Wednesday night? Did the congressman mention, you know, when exactly they decided, the hell with this, we're gonna finish our business tonight? Because to me, as a civilian under the circumstances, man, I want to go home and be with my family. But these people went back to work.
Right, right. No, he said it was important. You know, they felt that that was important just to show that this was not going to disrupt, you know, the process of government, and to show that they had withstood this insurrection, and, you know, we're going to go about the people's business. So I think like everybody else in Congress, or most people in Congress, you know, he felt very committed to that, and that was important to show people that, you know, that our government was not going to be interrupted by something like this.
My dad was a former Marine on Iwo Jima. He was on a 105 millimeter howitzer unit, and he never talked about combat, but the one thing he did say was that they were supposed to be on Iwo Jima for 3 days. They were there for 28, and he said that I think he was a lance corporal, he was on the guns. And he said when the flag went up, which we have a memorial of, he said when that flag went up, it just lifted everyone's morale to keep on going. And it was a feeling he couldn't describe. And he had tears in his eyes. Yesterday, we fast forward from 2 weeks ago, when I saw the Marine Color Guard on the balcony where those people were rioting 2 weeks ago, I had tears in my eyes because I got a picture of my dad right over my desk here in his Marine uniform.
Wow.
And it reminded me of, oh my God, this must be a taste of what it must have felt like there, because here's the American flag with the Marine Color Guard and the Constitution standing tall. And it's just, it was such an amazing feeling. And so in talking with the congressman yesterday, I'm sure that, it's 180 degrees from where it was 2 weeks ago in terms of what he felt.
Yes, no, he said a lot of the same things, Rick, and it was, like I said, it was so important to see this this transition of power, this, you know, tradition to continue. And he had almost the front row seat. He was it was attended only by, I think, a few hundred people. I'm not sure the exact number. And he said it had this feeling, even though it was this grand, you know, really important event, that he said it almost felt like a congressional event, because it was mostly just people in Congress who were allowed there, and each member of Congress was allowed to bring a guest. And he said that he would normally bring his wife to something like this, but he decided not to for security reasons. And,
wow.
And he noted that she is also 8.5 months pregnant.
Okay.
Back in Salem. And so he didn't bring a guest, so he sat there, and he just, yeah, he was very impressed by the whole thing, and you know, was really encouraged. And of course he, you know, Moulton, of course, you know, ran for president himself and dropped out at some point last year, and he did endorse Joe Biden, so he's a supporter, and he's hoping that things will change, right, starting yesterday, but we'll see.
Well, I know it was, in my opinion, it was really something to watch. It was an uplifting day to see the flag, to see this thing go on, to see, and actually to see the opposition parties work toward a common goal for one day at least. And I don't know, did the congressman mention anything about politics?
No, Yeah, well, I asked him about, I mean, obviously Biden's main point was an appeal for unity and to work together, and I think, you know, the devil is in the details, and I asked Moulton about that, you know, can he work with Republicans, and, you know, can you work with people who have said that the election was a fraud, you know, which is not true, and how do you sit down and work out a tax deal or climate change or infrastructure and all these other things? And he did say, and that's when he said that there, you know, there needs to be, you know, repercussions, and he's in support of, and he obviously voted to impeach Trump, and he thinks he should be convicted, and he thinks it's important to go ahead with that, that you can't, and obviously to prosecute, you know, the rioters at the Capitol, and so it's not as simple, and I know that Biden doesn't think it's that simple either, but it's not just a matter of, oh, that's all behind us now, an insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, we're going to move on.
Yeah, really, yeah.
We really need to deal with this and the root causes, and so it's, you know, I mean, he recognizes it's not going to be easy, so, you know, he's optimistic, but also, I think, realistic about what needs to be done.
When I heard the poem, when I watched Amanda Gorman read her poem, Paul, I wonder what your reaction was too. When she got to the last line, "For there is always light, if we're only brave enough to see it, if we're only brave enough to be it," I immediately thought of Kennedy, you know, that many years ago. Ask not what you can do for your country, or ask not what the country can do for you. So those three lines there, there's always light if we're only brave enough to see it, if we're only brave enough to be it. That kind of, to me, overshadowed the president's inaugural address.
Right. No, it's funny because I asked Moulton about his impressions of her, and he said the same thing half jokingly. He said that, that she kind of stole the show, you know. And, the same impression as a lot of people. You know, you can't believe that she's only 22 years old, yeah. Have that amount of poise and, you know, the ability to express herself in that way. And she delivered it perfectly with her hand gestures and her cadence. And it was so meaningful. Yeah, so emotional. It was, I think that, you know, people say that, you know, people don't remember inaugurations and a lot of what goes on, but as you noted, like the Kennedy inaugural, everybody remembers that, and I think that this might be, it's going to stay in people's minds for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I tell you, it just kind of blew me away. Paula, you want to wrap this up in terms of this particular coverage of your writing? Is there anything else you want to mention about your interviews with the congressman?
I think that's it, Rick, as far as those two talks. It was, and I know, you know, it kind of transitions to the local angle. I wrote a story last week about, there's new members of the school committee and city council in Beverly and others in leadership, you know, positions who are people of color. And that's sort of on the local level that it sort of, you know, mirrors what's happening on the national level in a lot of ways with this reckoning with racial equity and injustice and, you know, police actions and so forth. So, you know, communities on the North Shore are dealing with that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, as all related to that, I mean, I read this story, and by the way, this is all in the Salem News, people, and the Gloucester Times today, as a matter of fact, has Paul's headline story with Congressman Moulton. But it all ties to Beverly City Council, a new makeup, the school committee, a new makeup. Maybe you could talk about that. But then also the police are, I guess, restructuring their use of force. There's a thin blue line flag that's different from the other one that had been flying. So all of this stuff, I don't know what it points to, but it points to some kind of change, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think so, Rick. And it's just, as I said, it's just local. You know, communities are now dealing with these national issues. It used to be, for years that the city council and school committee, you know, they would very rarely get into these national issues. They were more the nuts and bolts of, you know, local government and what to take to get the roads paved and, you know, educate, their children and so forth. But they're also, which I think is good, they're dealing with these issues of equity and, you know, diversity and so forth. So in Beverly, there were open, you know, there happened to be openings midterm on both the school committee and the city council. So, you know, those boards had to appoint, you know, people to fill them until the election, which is later this year. And the city council, you know, Dominic Copeland was appointed, and he's, as far as we know, you know, based on our research, he's the first black city councilor in the history of Beverly. And then on the school committee, they had an opening too, and they appointed Kenan McKenzie to fill that role. And she's a person of color. She has a PhD in education from Cornell, and she's the head of an institute at Boston University. And you know, she mentioned that it's important for people to be qualified for these positions too. But anyway, it's just, and Beverly has these new positions, you know, director of equity positions, both in the city and the schools. And so they're looking at all those issues now, which is going to be interesting to cover going forward.
Well, you realize, Paul, we talked for almost 15 minutes here, and we never once mentioned COVID, so maybe things are looking up. But we're still under restrictions, are we not, for another couple of weeks? What is it, phase two or whatever it is?
Right. No, that's true. It's funny. I thought the same thing, Rick, that I haven't really written specifically about that much. I mean, we have, you know, other members of the staff have, but, I mean, the pandemic is you know, it's as bad as it's ever been in terms of the number of cases and deaths, and it's just, it's become, you know, such a part of, you know, our lives now. But, you know, our local hospitals are still dealing with this. Our schools are dealing with it. So, I did do a story on, you know, police and firefighters and other, you know, first responders started getting the vaccine at various sites on the North Shore. There was one at, Peabody, I think it was at the high school they were doing it. There was a site at, you know, Beverly Airport where first responders were going to get their vaccines. So, so that's all rolling out and will continue for who knows how long.
Well, I'm a lot older than you are, Paul, so I'm ahead of you in the line.
There you go. See, there are some advantages.
That's right. The other one is I get to ski free at Gunstock also, so making it this far is okay.
Yeah, well, I'm getting there too, Rick.
Yeah, you got a
far behind.
You got a long way to go, kid. Hey, Paul, this is great. Anything else you want to mention about stuff in the Salem News? You're always working on something, but we don't want to give anything away either.
No, that's all right. I'm just doing it's just because I'm working on it now. I'm writing a nice story on a teenager from Beverly who recently got a kidney transplant. I had done a story on him a few months ago. He has this condition where he's also legally blind, and they need him a new condition. He's been through so much, but the donor was a friend of his family, and she's the mother of Riley Fessenden, the young girl who passed away, I think, you know, was it last year, of a rare form of cancer. So you had this situation where one family who had dealt with a child, you know, dying of cancer was helping this other family who had a son who's, you know, dealing with a lot of problems. So it's really a nice story. And the transplant was just held, I think a week ago. And, you know, Nick Horrigan is the boy's name. He's home now and he's doing well. So anyway, that's
right.
A really nice story, which we try to do a few of those too.
Yeah. Well, we need that. Looking forward to that one. All right. That's Paul Layton of the Salem Evening News. The Salem News, not the Salem Evening News, but the Salem News. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaston, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.